Joined you with Janine Preston on Lovers Beat. Today I have Audrey. Audrey McMillan is the CEO of SAPRO, and I know that SAPRO, being, of course, exporting South Africa and taking nostalgia all around the world, has its challenges in today's current climate with our transport minister. Tell me more.
Yeah, it's an absolute disaster as usual. And, you know, Janine, every time I speak to you, I always think, okay, next month I'm going to have good news for you. And next month I'm going to have good news for you. And then it never happens. That strike at Transnet meant that there were 2 weeks that nobody could pack containers. You couldn't get containers. Empty containers to out of the port, and you couldn't take containers into the port. And now they estimate it'll take about 6 weeks to get back on track to catch up with the backlog. So, and this is a busy time for us because obviously we normally get our containers up for Christmas. Yes. So unfortunately, some people won't get their containers in time, but, you know, we now just have to pack and try get as many containers out as we can, as quickly as we can.
I think, you know, what we need to do is we need to move Christmas.
That would help.
Yeah, I think we should. We're South Africans. Listen, we go through load shedding. We go through transport issues. In hell, we had a transport strike at Durban Harbour. After the floods, yes. And after the riots, and
after the
everything, yes. we now go on strike. So I think at the end of the day, what we really need to face here is moving Christmas. We need to move Christmas to whenever it's more convenient, because it's currently in such an inconvenient time.
It is.
You can do anything. Mm.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yes.
So, what new things are people asking for these days? Is there anything new besides knickknacks and Simba chips and mealie pies?
So, you know, the problem is that the South African manufacturers here. 25 years ago, they were all excited to export their products. And we're always prepared to go the extra mile for exports. That's unfortunately not the case anymore. And I'll give you an example. Is you mentioned Simba knickknacks. So for the last 20 years, Simba has been doing a special export run for us on all their Simba chips, and giving us 6 month shelf life, whereas the local stock only has a 16-week shelf life. So Simba was bought out by PepsiCo sometime last year, and they are now just doing away with all these type of things. And so Simba has done away with the export shelf life of 6 months. So you can only get one type of Simba stock, and that is with the local 16-week shelf life, which is a disaster for exports because the stock is expired but before it even arrives on the other side. So this has had a huge impact on our business because timber is such popular lines, and Simba doesn't care. They just don't care. You take what they produce, and you can take it or leave it. And it's all just because 99.9% of their business is from the local market. They're so busy locally that exports means nothing to them. So they just don't care.
And that's so sad, because our biggest fans overseas are South Africans, because they can't, you know, it's, as you always say, you export home abroad. Why do you export home abroad? It's because South Africans may leave for whatever reason they leave, but their heart is always here.
Always here, yeah. So unfortunately, you know, it's the same way Nestle discontinued their Nestle chocolate dog. And obviously, it's not a big seller for them locally, but exports, that was a big line. So yeah, it's sad when these things happen, and unfortunately they just say our volumes are not big enough, and unfortunately that's the way it is. You take it or you leave it.
I just think, you know, although and I'm stuttering, but what I was trying to get to was, it's interesting how when one leaves the country, one always wants to eat what's here. And
Yes.
yet, if you get local lines, like you've got that lady who makes the soap, that
Yes,
Buddha seep.
the poor ship. Yes,
It's not stuff that they were used to. It's stuff they have to get used to overseas. So it's a bit of a harder sell. Whereas when people go
It is a
overseas, they
hard sell,
remember the big name brands. You know, they remember the shelves being filled with Nescafe coffee and Timber chips and Lay's. And the one thing that really does my head in overseas is that the Lay's season onion is completely different to our Lay's thing here. Because you have to, the colors are different.
Yes.
I think the
Yes.
cheese and onion is blue, which is what our salt and vinegar is.
Salt and vinegar is, yes, which
exactly.
just causes so much confusion.
It does.
So, you know, it's very sad. But there are some manufacturers who actually still go the extra mile. So, and I'll give you an example of Omar Rusks. So there's a Rusk, we obviously can't send Omar Rusks the buttermilk to the UK because it's got dairy in it. So every 2 to 3 months, they actually do a special run where they import the correct dairy from overseas and they make export batches for us So they don't actually, the price is still the same. So it actually costs them more to do this, but they just do it for the expats who are desperate for their product. So some manufacturers are prepared to go the extra mile, but you know, a lot of other manufacturers are, they really just don't care anymore.
Oh my word. That's one of the most, you know, and as I say, you know, when the smaller guys create products, I know there was one guy who we interviewed who did peri peri sauce. I'm sure he was from the Mossel Bay area. Because when he exports that, South Africans overseas have to get used to that. And they may as well go buy any of the brands that are in the overseas shelves. So why pay more for a South African brand they don't know?
Yes, well, and that's the thing, you know. So, just as an example, you know, there's now this new chip that's available, Triggs. It's, you know, started. It's in most of the Dis-Chem stores and things like that. So now that actually has a 12-month shelf life. So we've started exporting the Triggs range of chips, which is going to take quite a while to grow in popularity. But at so many times we're having to find alternatives because the original brands that we grew up on are just not available like they used to be, you know, unfortunately. And that's how it goes. It's always about the bottom line for these big manufacturers. So you take it or you leave it, unfortunately.
No, and I agree with you. And as I say, it must be such a difficult thing for you as a dedicated exporter to South African stores. Because as far as I know, you dedicated your export to South African stores around the world. So the work that you do is phenomenal. From the time that I met you years ago, I remember thinking you're the one person I know that I could ask what do different countries allow food-wise into their country. That's on the list of ingredients on each, and I can't believe how much you know.
But I mean, it's taken years. So, but it is sad, and you kind of do take it personally when these manufacturers just don't want to help you. Just another example is Pex and Chevette. That was a huge selling line for us, but it's just, you know, just being discontinued, and that's the end of that. So you're constantly having to find new products to make up for the old products that are no longer available.
And hopefully the newbies that go overseas know the product before they leave, because it's the reminiscence that they go back for. It's the burros and biltong that has to get made there on site, because I know that's a challenge for export. But I was walking in the, I was visiting my brother in High Wycombe, and I came across this little store. I was buying something. I can't remember what it was. And I was just having a wander through the little shop. And there was Rose's Lime Marmalade. Well, I nearly died.
Yes.
And I thought, now, what is that doing in this? So I took a photo, and it was £1. I was so impressed.
Wow.
Sent a picture to all
cheap.
My mates.
That is cheap.
You're not going to believe what I found in this little convenience store.
Wow. Wow. And that's discontinued as well now. So yeah, it's unfortunately, so exports makes up less than 1% of manufacturers' turnover. So they just, yeah, so it's so small that it I think a lot of the time they think we're more of a pain than
a
anything
nuisance.
Else or actually growing their bread. Yeah, a nuisance, I would say. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So it has its challenges. And, you know, the other issues we're facing now is, for example, the fresh fruit season. So some of the shipping lines are only working with fresh produce. So you can't get space on their vessels because it's already all booked up because obviously there's now 2 weeks where nothing was going out. So now they've got to get all the fresh produce out before they will take normal containers again. So, yeah, unfortunately, there's always something.
I have to ask you, are you thinking of starting A, your own manufacturing plant, and B, your own shipping line one of these days?
We always joke about getting our own ships, because that's the way to go. It's a nightmare. It always is a nightmare.
If I just think about, you know, when you see these pictures of the and I mean, I watch the trucks driving between here and Durban, and I think this is one container.
Yes.
I mean, how many trucks are you going to need to make up a ship?
Yes. And there lies the other issue as well, where the government has talked, for so many years that it's to get the containers, the trucks off the road and get these containers moved down by rail, which is what we used to do 25 years ago.
Correct.
And it is cheaper for us. It's cheaper for us to rail the containers down. But unfortunately, you know, nothing's been happening to the rail.
I mean, don't
service.
You just love, I'm trying to think who is our Minister of Transport. He currently stated, I think about a week ago, let's get the rail going, let's just create a whole train system. I'm thinking to myself, but have you any idea what the state of those railway lines actually are?
Yes.
Going to have to get, just between Joburg and Durban is what, 600 kilometres. You're going to have to look at 600 kilometres worth of railway line to actually say, okay, we need to replace this, and I'm not sure in what sort of sections these railway lines come in, but I'm thinking, did you actually go and have a little walkabout and have a look at the state of the
well,
union? Are you going to so blindly announce that we're going to get this whole thing up and running again? I mean,
yes, but if they just manage to get the railway system between Joburg and Durban, that would make a huge difference. An absolute huge difference.
It would take those trucks off our roads. It would save that.
Yes.
They can sell those now redundant toll gates. What do they call them? There's a name for them. They should take the old gantries and flog them and use that money to fix the railway line.
But really, the unfortunate thing is that the rail was working all these years ago. All they had to do was maintain it. It's not as if they have to build something new. It was there. It's just never been maintained properly, and it's just gone backwards.
And I remember the one time they launched the premier class train between Joburg and Durban, and it was kind of upmarket from the Shozaloza to Oshongololo to between that and the very fancy train. And media. And we got it, I think, about as far as Standerton. The train manager was actually a woman. She was a black woman, superb lady. And she stood up and she said, oh, enjoy your dinner. The train has stopped for a bit because they've stolen the lines.
Oh, dear.
And we have to wait for new lines to come from Johannesburg. To replace them. And whether it was the overhead lines or whether it was the track, I don't remember. But I remember all of us South Africans looking at each other and saying, it's okay, the bar's open, the food is good. You know, it really doesn't matter if we're in one place or we're moving.
Yes. But that is so typical, and it's so unfortunate because, you know, it really would make such a big difference for so many people if we could go back to rail. But it's just not going to happen. And
the benefits. Well.
Yes.
Moved
yes,
our cars
yes.
so that we could actually take a car with us on holiday instead of being railroaded by the car hire companies just to pay an exorbitant amount if you fly and drive. So it ends up people drive because it's far cheaper.
Yeah.
So what are people ordering for Christmas? Talk about something great.
Our customers always ask us what's new for Christmas, and it's always difficult because the problem is you only start to see things on the shelves for Christmas in November, and by that time it's too late to send it and get there in time for our customers around the world. So Christmas is actually not really a big line for us, but Easter is. So which I don't know why, but there's those two, the Beacon Marshmallow Easter Eggs and the Beacon Hens Eggs. Those two lines are so popular still after all these years. So we actually place our orders in August. We will get the stock end of November, and we will ship it out in December so that all our customers have their Easter stock by the end of January. In time for Easter. So Easter is very, very big for us, but unfortunately, the manufacturers don't produce the stock early enough for us for Christmas to get it in time for Christmas, because we're looking at least a month sailing time to the quickest port that we export to. So you've got to always keep that in mind, unfortunately. It is a slow process.
It's such fun. Well, the question is, I'm surprised that you don't know what's going on at Christmas, because normally they start playing Christmas music in July.
Exactly. They may play the music, but they don't produce the stock. The problem is producing the stock.
I know.
Yes.
We always have 300 days left for Christmas shopping.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Audrey, it's been awesome chatting again, and I hope that things pick up sharply now that is the strike over?
The strike is over. Funny enough, the very next day when it was over, we got notifications that we have to pay an extra, I think, 110 rand per container that goes in and out the port, which was due to the fact that government was not expecting to have to give such a high increase. They were working on a 3%, and as you know, it landed up being, I think, 6 or 7%. I don't know what the actual percentage was in the end, but that additional cost has already been passed on to the consumer already. Yeah, with immediate effect. So,
that's amazing.
So anyway, we can just carry on and do the best we can and hope for the best, and you know, maybe in time something will improve. But it doesn't really look like it right now.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway.
Oh, well, thank you so much for your time, as always. I mean, hopefully we'll catch at the end of November to hear how the Christmas stock went. Always good.
Yes. Yes, I can do that. And hopefully there's no more hiccups at the ports, and we can just continue to get our containers out.
And we can also chat about the new app that helps you find your local container, which I believe you've been so busy, you and I have been busy doing, and we'll be able to launch it by the end of November. So if you're looking for your local South African store, we can help you, thanks to Sapro. Exporting Home Abroad, we also bring you the fact to find your local South African store and contact them and look at their website and videos and all kinds of wonderful stuff. Thank you, Audrey. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. You have
and
a good day.
Chat to you the end of November, and you too.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Okay, bye.
Bye. And that was Janine Preston of Life is a Beach, talking to CEO Audrey McMillan of Sapro.